True North. This is Butte Views and Beyond, a True North experience. I'm Deborah Lucero, and I'm your host tonight on Butte Views and Beyond, a show about the things that make our region special. Events, cultural happenings, artistic endeavors, museums, galleries, tourist spots, interesting entrepreneurs, and more. These special things add to cultural diversity, community development, and economic opportunities, making the True North really, truly a wonderful place to live. Tonight, I'll be joined by a familiar voice on KZFR 90.1 FM, Ray Lager. We'll be talking about the upcoming Oroville Salmon Festival, new legislation that allows for cultural districts in California, and hear a Democracy Now! Interview with National Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera. And finally, talk about the 11th annual Arttoberfest. It might be the 12th annual now that I think about it. And Chico Palio, which will once again join forces with Chico's Parade of Lights on Saturday, October 15th in the downtown plaza. All right, welcome back. This is Butte Views and Beyond, a True North experience, and I'm your host, Deborah Lucero, and with me tonight is Ray Lager. Welcome, Ray.
Hey, thanks, Deborah.
All right. So, I am very excited tonight to talk about the Oroville Salmon Festival. This is the largest festival in the county of Butte, and it's been going on for how many years now?
This is the 22nd annual, and it's probably the second biggest event north of Sacramento. I think the Reading Air Show maybe pulls in a few thousand more. Last year, we estimated 22,000 for a one-day event. And it's always on the fourth Saturday of September. So this year, it'll be on the 24th.
All right. Well, I bet there are a lot of people out there. I know that 6 or 7 years ago, the event had kind of dwindled to 5 or 6,000 participants. And it has grown back up over the past 6 or 7 years. And I think last year, was that the year that Oroville had 18,000 fish that returned? And
yeah, I think it was one of the record years last year. And I haven't heard recently from the hatchery what the numbers are looking like this year. But, we had a lot of rain, so hopefully it'll be good, and there'll be a lot of returning fish. It's happening no matter what. Of course, there will be salmon returning. It just depends on the numbers. But oddly enough, after such a devastating drought, the fish numbers were really high in the feather. Now That's not the case in all rivers. I do believe Butte Creek was up as well. I think the Pit was down, though. So maybe they're saying, they're moving up. I don't know.
The Chinook, who knows what the Chinook they're doing.
Right. And I know that the Klamath is pretty low, too. Anyway, it's a great event. It's an all-day thing. It goes from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. And it's held in downtown, in the historic downtown Oroville. The fish hatchery has free tours starting at 9 a.m. That's the kind of early bird thing with a lot of kids going there. So the event the hatchery opens at 9. From 9 to 3, there is free shuttle bus service from Riverbend Park and also from the county buildings at Table Mountain and Grand Avenue. You can take the shuttle right over to the hatchery and then either take it over to the Salmon Festival, which is across the river, Or you can walk across Salmon Trail, which is a nice, oh, it's about a half a mile. You go across the Green Bridge and walk along the Feather River and look for jumping salmon as you walk. It's pretty beautiful.
It's pretty amazing. I think there are a lot of people really just right here in the True North that have not really been to Oroville. They go, Oroville. You know, you haven't spent time there. It's this beautiful, quaint little downtown, all original brick buildings. It's like walking back into the Wild West. But then you just look over to your right or left, depending which way you're facing, and there's this levee, and down below that is this beautiful river, the Feather River. And it's an amazing river with so many fish that you literally could almost walk across the fish when they're coming back up to spawn.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And they did some restoration on the river last year, so it's they took out some of the buildup of pebbles and rocks and things to deepen it, which made it a better habitat for the salmon, so the water is cooler, so it's not so hot. There's turtles, there's egrets, there's blue heron, there's all kind of fish and wildlife. And one thing that we had this last year, we started last year in collaboration with the Four Bay Aquatic Center, is we have kayaking on the Feather River that day. So the Aquatic Center will have kayaks available for rent at the Green Bridge. And you can rent a kayak and float down to Riverbend Park. It's about a 90-minute float. And then you can jump on a shuttle and come on right back. It's all part of the deal.
That's cool.
Really fun. And you can go to either salmonfestoroville.org or the Four Bay Aquatic Center website to sign up. And I think there's 3 launch times, 10:15, 12:30, and 2:15. So it gives you plenty of time to do your float and still enjoy the festival and then come on back up.
Well, you know, one thing I look forward to every year is the dinner Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to forget that because that's so special. It happens up on the levee. It's, you know, just one of those, again, something you can only find in our area. It's just so wonderful. The music that we have, the food is incredible. Every year, the food is amazing.
Yeah, it's a real Butte County experience. Yeah. We have a local caterer, Sherry, from Oroville that does Alaskan salmon or tri-tip. We have it held under a big, beautiful white tent with a professional stage and all that stuff. Linen tablecloths. It's a very nice event. It's a fundraiser for the Feather River Nature Center, which is just on the other side of Table Mountain. If you've ever been over there, that's a very historic area. It was a native site as well. It's where they first had they were ferries during Gold Rush days. If you look in the rocks, you'll see these giant, like,
metal
eye hooks.
Yeah,
that are like a foot and a half big that they had cables running across, and they would run ferries across, moving supplies back and forth.
And then, of course, then they built the WPA project, which was supposed to be a bathhouse back in the 30s.
Right.
And then I think that it stood for a year or two and then got washed away in a flood.
Right. 26, I think, was the big flood in
36.
No, 26.
It was built during the WPA project.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was 30.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway,
and now it's the it's part of the Nature Center, and it's a city park.
Yeah.
Beautiful, very gorgeous, overlooks the spillway on the Feather. And that's where they used to have the dinner. And then a few years ago, due to some
difficult to get down there sometimes.
Yeah, difficult physical challenges, liabilities,
Parking,
different factors like that. It was moved up to the levee. And again, it's a great time. It starts at 6, dinner at 7. Music, we have Dave Hauser's band, The Crawlers, which are a basically great bluegrass band, and then dancing at 8 with the living legend, Cherokee's own Charlie Robinson Trio. A lot of fun. And again, you can find tickets online at salmonfestoroville.org, or you can go to the Oroville Chamber of Commerce, and they'll have tickets available there as well. And they have a children's ticket. You pick if you want salmon or tri-tip. And it's a really, really fun event. We usually get about 200, 225, 250 people for that dinner.
Yeah, I'd love to get 300 people there. I think that would be really nice. I think that's when they sell out.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's always a gorgeous it's early fall. It's right after the end
of
summer.
It's very, very beautiful.
And just
perfect
a beautiful
weather.
Time. Yeah, perfect weather.
Now, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Salmon Court. and what's going on there.
Well, let's talk about, a couple other things. So Salmon Festival kicks off in downtown. There's a large street fair that takes place on Montgomery Street, Bird Street, and Myers in the historic downtown, and that is hosted by the Oroville Downtown Business Association.
And you get probably over 100 booths different kinds of crafters. This year, I know one of the booths is going to be a woman who wrote the historic book called The Liberty Club.
The Liberty Club.
And it's a history of her family in Oroville. It's a wonderful book, and she's going to be there signing the book.
Right. Nancy Wigman did a wonderful interview with her on Nancy's bookshelf.
Yeah, that was pretty
great show.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah. We also have the Butte County Board of Education does what they call Family Fun Day in front of their building on Hontoon Street. And it is really just a park-like setting with a million things for kids, I would say like 9 and 10 and under, to do.
Yeah.
So if you got little ones, you want to take them there, take them to Family Fun Day, 2 or 3 hours, they will be maxed out.
And you could also make it over via the shuttle over to the fish hatchery, which has all kinds of activities for children as well. And you can see the fish and feed the fish and do all kind of stuff.
Right. And that's all free. All those things are free. There's no admission to Salmon Festival. And then up on the levee is what we call Salmon Court. And that is up on, technically, it's Arlen Ryan Memorial Drive, but it's up above Montgomery Street. Just follow the music. Just keep walking up. If you go up, you're going to get there. And there'll be a shuttle bus stop there. And Salmon Court is nonstop entertainment. It's the beer and wine garden. It is the grilled salmon, a little more higher end of foods and things like that. And it is also the home of the Oroville Hospital Health Fair, which Oroville Hospital is our main sponsor this year. They've been great supporters. And they have an outrageous health fair, free flu shots, cholesterol checking, blood pressure checking, just about anything you need to get done that can be happening in a casual atmosphere like that. They'll have probably 30 or 40 hospital staff on hand, and it's just a great way to get engaged.
Get there early. If you want to enjoy that fair, they run out of flu shots pretty darn early, so you better get there. It opens at 10, right?
Opens at 10.
Yeah.
Get there early. Plan on that. And it's right next to the entertainment stage, so there'll also be a Butte County Board of Ed will also have a children's art project going on right there.
And then you also are the Valley Maidu tribe native dancing?
Concow Valley Maidu is going to do a dance song opening ceremony at 10 o'clock. And that'll
be
followed by Feather River Parks and Recs Department does a recital with a bunch of their kids. It's pretty darn cute. That's a pretty fun deal. And then follow that, we are going to have some belly dancing a belly dance troupe that'll perform for about 20 minutes, a half hour. And then catch it quick. We're going to have some juggling and some fun things. And that kicks us right into our entertainment, which starts at noon with Strung Nugget Gang, which is another bluegrass band that's really great. I saw them at the Wildflower Festival. You know, they do all my favorites, Friend of the Devil, Panama Red, you know, all that cool stuff. So very, very fun band. They'll be followed by a excellent jazz duo, Allison Skull and Victor Martin, two very, very sweet people will be coming down. And
out of Dunsmuir.
Yeah, they're out of Dunsmuir. And they do kind of world jazz. Allison sings in Portuguese and in French. And Victor does a little singing. He's also a multi-instrumentalist, saxophone, flute, guitar. So that'll be a nice happening. And then we have a really special treat.
Lazy Lester.
The living, you know, the legend himself, Lazy Lester, blues legend, who lives up in Sterling City, is going to be performing. Lester is in Europe right now. He's 83 years old. He's touring Europe. He's going to do a solo show, so he'll have his harp out, blowing some tunes. And then we end the afternoon with kind of a new band that you're familiar with.
Tom Gibson Band.
The Tom Gibson Band out of Reading. These guys are pretty hip. They're, I would call them, what, alternative rock Americana?
Yeah, I would say, you know, they've got a little bit of jazz influence, a little bit of rock and roll, a little poppy.
I get kind of a John Hyatt vibe off of their music a little bit.
And he sings a little like Tom Waite, too.
Yeah.
Tom Waite, he's got that real kind of guttural and, rocky kind of voice.
Yeah. Anyway, they're fun. We're happy to introduce them to the area. And hopefully we can see these guys around a little bit more.
Yeah, and he's got a couple of CDs out, and he's originally from Ohio and then moved to Reading. And so he's just getting started up here in the True North.
You know, all this is through our, I have to mention some of our sponsors on this that help us. Of course, Orville Hospital is our big sponsor. And Wells Fargo definitely stepped up to the plate this year. Of course, the SBF Fund that helps fund this thing, City of Oroville, Oroville Chamber, Department of Water Resources, Recology, all big big bonus. Friends of the Arts, Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation. So it's a real collaborative thing. There's dozens and dozens of organizations. We have Nonprofit Alley. If you are involved in a nonprofit, I have probably about 20 booths happening so far. If you go to our website, salmonfestoroville.org, and click on the nonprofit, you'll find a link for that. Or you can reach me at 520-4742, and I'll make sure your organization gets a free booth and can do community outreach.
You know, and you also should, Facebook is a wonderful tool, and there is an Oroville Salmon Festival Facebook page, and all the latest is posted there. There's vendor applications as well as nonprofit applications.
Yeah, everything's on the Facebook. Give us a like. I think we're at about 2,400 likes. We'd love to hit 5,000.
All right, that's a challenge out there.
Just like that.
That's a challenge.
I don't know where
that just came out, huh? Okay.
You want to take a little music break?
Yeah, let's take a little music break.
Retool.
Then we'll come back, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some new legislation that was passed at the end of last year that allows for cultural districts to be established in California. And I didn't realize that we didn't have this legislation. We're going to talk about some cultural districts that already exist and what this could mean and what the legislation looks like and how California, the California Arts Council, is going to be heading up this effort.
Okay, we're going to hear... KCFR is bringing Ray Wiley Hubbard, one of the original outlaws, you know, from Willie, Whalen, Merle, Jerry Jeff, and the boys to town on September 10th. And Tim Flannery and the Lunatic Fringe opening up a Hopkey. Anyway, let's sample up a little Ray Wiley, and we'll be right back here on Butte Views and Beyond, a
True North experience.
There have been true believers rising up from the rank and file drums. Now for a short time we gather small treasures, and after the harvest they're sweet. Kingdom come. Once we had wings and could fly over mountains, and in the blue yonder we had a home. There was a time we could all walk on water till we saw a reflection and we sank like a stone. From now until dawn, that flow on forever. We are like rivers on our way home, and always before us there have been true believers rising up from the rank and file drums. Now for a short time, we gather small treasure, and after the harvest, their sweet kingdom come. And after the harvest, and after the harvest, and after the harvest, their sweet kingdom come.
Welcome back. That was kind of sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
So after the harvest, Ray Wiley Hubbard again. He'll be in Chico September 10th and in Reading at Old City Hall on Friday, September 9th. So if you're living out there on the I-5 Corning or in that area, and or you just happen to be up in Reading that time, Old City Hall is a beautiful historic building. It's an intimate setting. It's a sit-down show. I think it's going to be like 100 seats. So if you want to get up close and personal with Ray, that's the gig.
That is the gig to be at. So, you know, the next thing I wanted to really discuss, which is very exciting to me personally, is the new cultural districts that the state of California is now able to establish. And this is due to an Assembly Bill number 189 that was passed, signed by the governor October 1st, 2015. So what this bill does is it actually... It would require the Arts Council, that's California Arts Council, to establish criteria and guidelines for state-designated cultural districts. And basically, it's requiring the council to establish a competitive application system for certification, provide technical and promotional support for certified state-designated cultural districts, and collaborate with public agencies and private entities to maximize the benefits of state-designated cultural districts. So what does that mean? In one simple word, tourism. It means that any place that receives this designation, the cities that are shovel-ready, if you will, that have a combination of the following things. State-designated cultural districts sound a lot like Butte Views and Beyond. We do our whole show around this entire concept. It means a geographical area which is certified and it has a concentration of cultural facilities, creative enterprises, or arts venues that does any one of the following. Attracts artists, creative entrepreneurs, and cultural enterprises, encourages economic development and supports entrepreneurship in the creative community, encourages the preservation and reuse of historic buildings and other artistic and culturally significant structures, fosters local cultural development, provides a focal point for celebrating and strengthening the unique cultural identity of the community, promotes opportunity without generating displacement or expanding inequality. The Arts Council shall establish criteria and guidelines for state-designated cultural districts and basically establish this competitive application system. So I think this has great implications for the North State, and particularly the True North.
Sure. So so what does that mean for just me? What does that mean? I mean, I understand from the... legal aspect and, you know, grant writing, you're referring to things like that?
No, not really. What I'm talking about is, okay, everybody knows Old Sacramento. Okay, Old Sacramento is a cultural district. Now, what this would do for a place like that is it would put it on the state radar. So when the state markets itself to Germany or Japan or outside or Florida, for that matter, or New York, those are the places that they're going to be pushing. So in other words, if a city only has $30,000 to spend on marketing itself, those monies could be amplified through a state-designated cultural district that could be established in any one of our small little towns that have these concentrations.
Got it. So it kind of puts you on the radar.
It does.
For these things. And is this the only one in the North State? Isn't there another one?
Well, okay, so I was looking, you know, now none of these are official. I mean, they're official in that, yes, they've been established, and the Americans for the Arts has had criteria to establish cultural districts since 1998. So California is just a little late coming to the party. So these exist all over the country. But I was looking in California just to kind of see, okay, what, according to Americans for the Arts, which is kind of the overall umbrella for this type of program, who is registered as a cultural district there? And the furthest north I found was in Eureka, and that is Old Town Downtown District in Eureka.
Okay, we've been there.
All right, and then the next one I found is in Sacramento. Okay. So there is nothing between Eureka and Sacramento, and you know, last weekend, I had the ultimate privilege of taking my mother to her 60th high school class reunion in Yreka. And we kind of did all kinds of things, took her to her childhood homes and that were no longer there, took her all over to Grenada, Dunsmuir, where my grandfather had a specialized auto body shop, to Weed, where my dad grew up for the most part, for the larger part of his life. And anyway, in going through all those towns, we also went out to McLeod. These towns all depended heavily on the lumber industry. And so when you go into these beautiful little downtowns, each has a unique character. Yreka is amazing because all of its old houses actually have placards on the house telling when it was built,
nice.
Whose house, what it used to belong to, or like the person who owned it. And you can tell that there's great pride in these little communities. McLeod, practically the only thing left there is the mercantile, where all of the people used to go to buy their goods. And then they have some beautiful old restored buildings, little B&Bs. But there's only 12 kids that go to their high school. You know, it's a town that is trying to survive.
Sure.
Mount Shasta, visited Mount Shasta. It's beautiful and thriving in some ways, but, they're too, because of the drought, if it doesn't snow, they kind of get put out of business.
Yeah, they suffer in the winter. Last year they had a decent snowfall, but that's no guarantee.
And you know, they all do, everybody there is doing two or three jobs. They're mostly in the service industry. So I just feel that this has some implication for us as the True North, that perhaps we could really grab onto this idea of what we are up here, the beautiful areas that we have, our natural resources, the beautiful galleries, the incredible artists who come here for inspiration, whether it's from Mount Shasta or Shasta Lake or Lake Oroville or Table Mountain or the many trails that are in Redding, or the river, whatever it might be. You know, you might enjoy fly fishing. But we have things up here. We just don't invite people to come and visit. They don't think there's any culture up here.
Yeah, well, it's an ongoing thing. It's kind of like the best kept secret, but then again, you want to kind of get the word out to kind of keep the vitality of the area so people can stay and thrive. So when you say True North, what are we talking here? Are we talking Butte County? Or are we talking further than that?
Well, the True North really consists, it's an actual designated region now. We worked 5 years to get this region on the state map. So it includes Butte, Tehama, Shasta, Trinity, and Siskiyou. And it's held together by 5 arts councils. And we have other partners. Chico State has partnered with us. College of the Siskiyous has partnered with us. Little venues in Red Bluff, Dunsmuir, Trinity have all partnered with us. And the idea was to see, could we increase the capacity of these small organizations to tour artists through the region, exhibitions through the region, possibly art projects or art concepts through the region. So we're learning how to work together and how to become more important to funders, because those 5 counties represent 18,000 square miles. That's larger than 9 U.S. states, but we only have 500,000 people. So we're very underrepresented when it comes to grants, when it comes to being noticed by the state government or the federal government or getting some of those monies. You know, Chico is too small to get some of those big grants by itself, or Orland, you know, or any of these. Well, Orland isn't a good example because it's in Glynn County, but Corning, just because it's not part of the True North yet.
Right. So now, well, that's a good point. So if Glynn County, which does not have an arts council, I believe at this time, if they were to, they could join. So other geographic areas, other counties can become a part of this?
Well, we'd have to check with the partners to make sure that we felt we could serve in that capacity. Mm-hmm. We have been asked by other counties right now to join. And when I say we, this is really under the auspices of the Shasta County Arts Council at this point. And it took 5 years to get this designation from the California Arts Council, but because we do have it, we are now considered one of their statewide regional partners to help bring ideas out to the state in general. And the cultural district idea is one of those things. So the True North is really helping the Arts Council get the word out in the North State. There's going to be a meeting in Reading on September 8th. From 10 to noon, and if you are a city planner, if you work for Caltrans, if you are an artist, if you run or operate a cultural institution, or if you're with a historical group, or you have saved a historical building or have interest in doing something like that, or are just simply an interested citizen, I would encourage you to attend the meeting in Reading. It's, again, on September 8th. And we'll go from 10 to noon.
How would people register for that or get information on that?
You can go on Facebook, and there's actually a registration for under the California Arts Council's website, or you can go to the California Arts Council website and look up the cultural districts. There are only three meetings. One of them is in Reading. This is to get the public input on how this competitive process should be done. One is in Escondido, and I can't remember where the other one is. It's somewhere in the Central Valley. Oh, Fresno. It's in Fresno. Sure. So it's pretty important for people to come and talk about what they think the criteria should be and learn from the folks who are going to be there. So
that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
A lot of years in the making, and you know, it's one of those... It's one of those things that will actually make real change.
Well, and it, you know, this year is about exploring how to create them. Next year, you know, even though there's no appropriation with the legislation, meaning there's no funds attached, there could be funds in the future. And I believe they're going to try to coordinate this with Visit California's efforts to increase tourism to California. So the cultural offerings are going to become greater in the state. And that really is appropriate since we are one of the most creative states in the union.
Yeah.
All right. So,
on and on.
Do we need a little bit of music, and then we can, when we come back?
Yeah. What do you got next? What do you got on deck? You can play a little more Ray. I know we have an interview coming up, but
yeah. You want to play a little bit more?
Yeah. Do you want to give them a teaser what they can expect when we come back?
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we are actually going to listen to a Democracy Now! Interview with National Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera, and why this is so cool is that he's going to be in Reading. And I'm kind of amazed because Reading has had the good fortune to have Dana Gioia, who is the California Poet Laureate. He visited last month in July. And now we have the National Poet Laureate visiting. The date is September 7th. So maybe you just make an overnight trip. You know, you come up to Reading, you listen to the National Poet Laureate at Shasta College, and then on the 8th, you go to the Cultural District meeting. What do you say? Find a nice little B&B on the Sacramento River?
There you go. The campgrounds.
Yeah, you
could
go.
Bunch of nice downtown hotels. Rediscover downtown Reading.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They got a Thunderbird Motel Lodge, too, and it's pretty cool. Right next to Old City Hall, built in 1907.
Yeah, it's actually a nice place, and it's got the old sign, and it's still the old T-Bird.
But new beds, new paint.
New paint, new beds.
New place.
And they got a nice new downtown brewery, too, Woody's.
They've got two now, and they're going to have a third one.
And Wild Card. Yeah, the downtown, they're getting a little...
They actually are going to have a third brewery that should be open.
Downtown, yeah,
a third brewery. It's kind of exciting. I mean, there are a lot of things going on in downtown Reading.
Yeah, it's a. If they even get Caltrans to move that freeway, it'd be awesome. All right, here's little Ray Wiley Hubbard again, coming to Chico on September 10th, coming to Reading on September 9th at Old City Hall.
Seem to be haunted by these ghosts, and I can't decide which ones grieve me most. Not wanting to remember, or I can't forget, and I'm dusty with these old regrets. There are some days I just wanna cry. There are some ways I used to get by. Well, you've got your cross and your hymnal too, and you say your prayers like you're supposed to do. You tell me it was this thing called grace, and I believe you, I see it in your face. There are some days I just want to cry. There are some ways I used to get by. And her wings are torn. She offers me a string of pearls and thorns, and she seems to smile just before she disappears, and she whispers, "You're not the only one bleeding here." There are some days I just want to cry. There are some ways I used to get by. There are some days I just want to cry. You to give back.
Ray Wiley Hubbard, September 10th. End of Normal.
End of Normal in Chico and September 9th in Reading.
All right. So Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Arttoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Chico Custom Cabinetry, building fine cabinets and creating custom woodworking throughout the KZFR listening area. Chico Custom Cabinetry proves that custom doesn't mean expensive. It means getting what you want. Licensed, bonded, insured, professional, and with over 20 years of experience, Chico Custom Cabinetry. If you can dream it, they can build it. 324-0032. All right, welcome back. This is Butte Views and Beyond, a True North experience, and I'm your host, Deborah Lucero, and with me tonight is Ray Lager. And Ray, I think we're getting ready to hear a Democracy Now! Interview with National Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera, who is going to be speaking September 7th in Reading at Shasta College.
Now, if people wanted to attend this, are you directing them somewhere? How do they?
I think the best thing is to go on to the Shasta College website and look for the times. I will do that after this interview. I can help direct them.
All right, do a little homework. And this is from 2015. And of course, Amy Goodman is with us every morning, every weekday morning at 8 o'clock. And this is a nice interview she did with Juan back on October 9th, 2015. Right.
Here we go.
Let it roll.
DemocracyNow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We end today's show with Juan Felipe Herrera. He recently began his term as the 21st Poet Laureate of the United States. A son of Mexican migrant workers, Herrera is the first Latino Poet Laureate of the United States. He writes in both English and Spanish. His work has been celebrated over the past four decades for its energy, humor, emotion, and ability to capture the consciousness of a cross-section of America. In announcing Juan Felipe Herrera's appointment as Poet Laureate, the Librarian of Congress, Director James Billington, said, quote, "I see in Herrera's poems the work of an American original, work that takes the sublimity and largesse of Leaves of Grass and expands upon it. His poems engage in a serious sense of play and language and an image that I feel gives them enduring power. I see how they champion voices and traditions and histories, as well as a cultural perspective, which is a vital part of our larger American identity." Juan Felipe Herrera is the author of 28 books, including 187 Reasons Mexicanos Can't Cross the Border, and most recently, Notes on the Assemblage. He's a past winner of the National Book Critics Circle Award and the International Latino Book Award, and joins us now in studio. Juan Felipe Herrera, congratulations and welcome to Democracy Now!
Well, thank you so much. It's a great honor to be here.
What does it mean to become the Poet Laureate of the United States?
Well, you know, it means a lot. It means my whole life. It means the life of many generations of Latinos in this country, and all the writing that we have done for so many years and centuries.
Tell me about your family, where you come from, where your parents came from.
Well, you know, my family, my father came from Chihuahua back in the late 1800s. He crossed the border when he was 14, probably in 1898. He was born in 1882. He was always a laborer, a farm worker throughout his whole life, and a great storyteller and a great pioneer. My mother came from Mexico City, from the barrio of Tepito, one of the poorest barrios, right after the Mexican Revolution, and with my grandmother and my aunt and my uncles that came before her to join the army in Fort Bliss. And she wanted to be a dancer and a poet and a singer, but being that traditional type a world, she was kept back from doing that. So she instilled all that in me, and always kept her spirit.
And where were you born?
I was born in Fowler, California. I'm a son of farm workers, like I mentioned, and I was born in next to Fresno, the San Joaquin Valley of California.
You have talked about what it's like to live as an outlaw and brown in America.
I have talked about that, yes. Being an outlaw for me means, being on the margin and working with other artists and community members to bring about change in that manner. And so that's what I've done with many people. It's been beautiful that part of the social changes and cultural movements of the 60s, 70s to the present, and to be active to honor our communities and to work with our communities, and particularly through the word and stories and poetry and inspiration and change.
You've also said growing up in a migrant family is living in literature every day.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, because it's all about storytelling. It's about telling our stories and our songs and our riddles and our sayings and proverbs. And that's what it is. And it's rich, very rich.
I wanted to go to a clip from 1973 when you performed at the Festival de Flor y Canto de Aztlán. This is Juan Felipe Herrera's poem, Let Us Gather in a Flourishing Way.
Let us gather in a flourishing way. With sun loose grains, abriendo los cantos que cargamos cada día. En el young pasto nuestro cuerpo para regalar y dar feliz perlas, pearls of corn flowing, árboles de vida en las cuatro esquinas. Let us gather in a flourishing way, contentos, llenos de fuerza, tu vida giving nacimientos to fragrant ríos, dulces, frescos, verdes, turquoise, strong. Que sí. Let us gather in a flourishing way. Carne de nuestros hijos, hijas, rainbows, en la luz y en la carne of our heart to toil, tranquilos. In fields of blossoms, juntos to stretch los brazos. Tranquilos with the rain en la mañana. Temprana estrella on our forehead. Cielo de calor and wisdom to meet us where we toil, siempre in the garden of our struggle. In the garden of our joy. Let us offer our hearts a saludar our águila rising freedom. A celebrar woven brazos, branches, ramas, piedras, nopales, plumas, pueblos. Piercing, bursting, ripe mariposa fields and mares claros of our face. To breathe todos en el camino, blessing the seeds to grow, to give. Maislán, Amerindia, en las manos de nuestro amor.
Juan Felipe Herrera, reading his poetry in 1973. Your hair has grown shorter, but how has your work changed over the decades?
Well, you know, I haven't really left that spirit and the bilingual spirit and poetry for all people and our people and for poetry for our communities. Well, it's changed because, you know, I've had everything changes and I have new experiences and I've seen new things happen and people come to me and tell me their stories and certain things have become more pronounced through time.
Talk about speaking in English and Spanish, writing in English and Spanish.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. You know, we have many languages in this nation, and we also have fronteras living on these things called the borders, on the border. And that's where poetry gets reinvented and language gets reinvented. And this is part of the Chicano Latino movement of the late 60s, post-civil rights. And it was about opening our lives and our life, how we live and how we speak and what we see and our experience and our culture. So that's what that is.
On All September right. 20- so Juan Felipe Herrera, and he is going to be at the Shasta College Theater on September 7th at 7 p.m. And if you get a chance, you're really going to want to go and hear this amazing man. We are, again, so fortunate. He is the National Poet Laureate, the 21st of these United States, and the very first Latino to hold the position. All right, so next we are actually going to talk a little bit about the 11th Annual Arttoberfest, and yes, I did count back on my fingers, and it looks like it is the 11th Arttoberfest. It was started in 2005, the brainchild of the Chico Arts Commission, and we worked many years on creating a website, getting all the folks together, whether they're theater or visual arts or performance arts, whatever it may be, literature. All on the same page for 1 month. And the idea was behind Arttoberfest was that we didn't have to go out and invent anything. We just had to look around and see what was happening. And that very first year, there were 85 events happening in October. And so what we did is we said, hey, let's make Arttoberfest and invite people to come to Chico during this month. It was kind of a counter idea because at the time, the Chico Police Department was actually paying for a campaign. I think it was $50,000, $60,000 a year to keep people away from Chico during October because of the Halloween parties and the chaos that was being created. So we said in the interest of spending money very wisely and maybe increasing tourism to the area in a positive way, let's highlight our area and talk about all the good things there are to do in Chico. And so it became Chico and Butte County-centric. By the second year in October, we had 150 things to do. So Arttoberfest.net is going to happen again this year. And I'm encouraging anyone with an activity, an arts or culture related activity, whether it's a wonderful lecture or maybe it's a musical performance, maybe it's a dance, maybe it's a special event, maybe it's a festival, whatever it may be, you can go to Arttoberfest.net and go to contact us down at the bottom of the page, contact us. And send us your event. Send us what you're doing. And then we will contact you. It'd be great to also send us like a link to a Facebook page or maybe you have a website outlining what your event is. And if you can get those to us, we will get those up on, again, Arttoberfest.net. Go to the contact at the very bottom and fill it out. I think you get 1,000 characters there. And tell us what you're doing. And we will get it up on that site, which is going to be launched about mid-September, depending on it. We're already starting to populate it, but we need to change out the photographs and things like that.
And they'll be doing some, I know KZFR is a sponsor of Arttoberfest, so there'll be some announcements about that for people that wanted to find out what's happening in the month of October. It's kind of a cataloging, so to speak, or clearinghouse?
Clearinghouse. I mean, we have everything.
Information.
If you go to Arttoberfest.net, it's actually geared toward all the things there are to do, whether it's festivals or perhaps it is musical performances or, you know, whoever, whatever
poetry,
it is. Poetry, dance, blah, you know, all those kind of wonderful things.
All of them.
So,
and then what about Chico Polio? Is Chico Polio happening again?
You know, Chico Polio is happening again, and this year it is going to coincide with like it did last year, with the Chico Parade of Lights on Saturday, October 15th, in the downtown plaza. And there is some talk. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull this off, but you know, there's the races at the time. They do different kinds of
The couch races or bed races.
The bed races and all these things. So we're thinking maybe we could do a relay around city of Chico. Chico Polio horses could do one block.
Oh, yeah.
Then they hand it off. You know, maybe who knows what they're handing off? But you know, just like the old school relays.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So we'll see. Okay. I don't know if we can actually pull that off, but we'll try.
Well, if you put it out in the universe.
that could be. But, you know, aside from all these wonderful things that you're listening to, as usual, there's incredible things going on. Tonight, in fact, Jim Hightower and Will Durst and Mary Standish are all at the Women's Club. Heard that one was sold out.
We'll be doing a live broadcast starting at 7:30 right here on your community radio station. And if I'm not mistaken, it'll be archived at kzfr.org. So if you can't catch it, you can go to our website and listen to it at your leisure.
Oh, that's perfect. And also the Blue Room Theater, A Kid Walks Into the Bar, an original dark comedy. And that's August 25th. That is tonight, starts tonight through August 28th. That should be really totally awesome. Chico Theater Company, Little Shop of Horrors, that starts on the 26th and goes through September 18th. And of course, 'tis the season. We've got three more concerts, Friday night concerts. Quasimofos are going to be, that's kind of a rock alternative pop style, is going to be this Friday. And then the Reveals next Friday. And then the final one is the Jeff Pershing Band on the 9th. And then, oh, go ahead.
I was going to, since you're talking about downtown, Taste of Chico is back on September 25th also.
Right, day after Salmon Festival.
Day after Salmon Festival.
Day after Salmon.
Tell your Aunt Millie to come on up from Escondido and spend the weekend, and you could go to Oroville on Saturday and do the Taste of Chico on Sunday.
I have an Aunt Millie.
Escondido.
Okay. And then Paradise Art Center through August 27th. You can draw what? It's a member art show. You should check it out. If you've never, this is a good reason to go up to Paradise. I used to live right across the street from the art center.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And then Chico Con. This is kind of cool. This is happening on Saturday, August 27th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And, you know, all the people that are into comic book conventions, this is what that is. And that is going to be at the Elks Lodge. And then, of course, it would not be complete without celebrating our one and only John Bidwell. It is his 197th birthday. That guy is old.
Oh.
And it's Sunday, August 28th from 4 to 6 in the afternoon at his home, which just happens to be or happened to be the Bidwell Mansion. So listen, folks, if you're wondering where I'm getting all these wonderful things, it is in the Friends of the Arts newsletter. If you are interested in receiving that newsletter, please go to arttoberfest.net, go down to contact, and just say, here's my email, fill it out, and we will get you on this list. All right. Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Community Memorial Museum in Yuba City, presenting a new exhibit, the National Park Service, 100 Years of Heritage. The opening and reception is this Friday, August 26th. Then on Saturday, August 27th, it's the annual Pig Roast Fundraiser. Mm. More information on Facebook or by calling the museum at 822-7141. And by Apothecary Options, a compounding pharmacy specializing in bioidentical hormone replacement for women and testosterone replacement for men. More information is available by calling Apothecary Options at 345-7979 or at apothecaryoptions.com. This is Deborah Lucero, and you've been listening to Butte Views and Beyond, a True North experience. Join me every fourth Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Signing off for the month of August.